We're going to Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just commit this week to pray for the needs that's been brought here. Lord, this morning, pray one for another. Amen. The Bible teaches us to bear one another's burdens, right? Amen. We find strength when we know that someone's praying for us, don't we? Amen. We've referenced these passages a few times in our study here in Matthew 11, and so we're going to look at them a little closer here this morning toward the end of the chapter. In Matthew 11, reading from verse 25, it says, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. I thought it was needful before we left this topic about reaching our world that we understand. And as Jesus says here, maybe getting a little bit out of order, or not out of order in that sense, but out of chronological order with our verses, where Jesus says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." John tells us this way. He says, "No man has seen the Father at any time but the Son. And he declares the Father." The scripture teaches us that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The scripture teaches us that all power was given unto him in heaven and in earth. So we see the Father being declared through his only begotten Son. We see all that the Father was and is. It's not that it was, we understand, you know, God is all in all and feels all in all. But yet through his Son, he chose to reveal himself to man. Now, with that said, he says, "No man has seen the Father at any time. The Son hath declared him unto us." And so that's what we've been looking at, really, in our study, is we've just been looking at how that the Son of God, Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, hath declared the Father unto the world. I mean, how he has demonstrated him, how he has demonstrated not just his love, but also his judgment. And Jesus said it this way. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the door. There is no other way." We've seen very clearly through the scriptures we've been studying, the Bible teaches that if any man come up any other way, he is a thief and a robber. Yeah, Jesus is the only way to God. It's that simple, isn't it? That's the gospel message. Amen. That's the message. The way into the Father is through his only begotten Son. listen how Timothy or Paul tells it to us this morning, and just maybe put a bookmark there in Matthew 11, because we're definitely coming back to there. 1 Timothy 1 tells it this way. Paul says to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he finishes that with by saying, of whom I am chief. So Jesus came. If we put a mission statement, if you will, on the incarnation, on God with us. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Amen. That Paul says it this way, that Jesus came unto the world to save. How great is that this morning? He said, this is faithful. This is a trustworthy saying. This is sure and steadfast, that we can know without a doubt that Jesus came, Scripture says it this way, to seek and to save that which was lost. Paul says it's worthy of acceptation. It's worthy of acceptance. It's worthy that we can know without a doubt that it is true. Even the Old Testament scriptures have taught us from the very beginning that there would be a Savior that would come. The prophet Isaiah prophesied of the one there in Isaiah chapter number 45. If you can find it quickly, you can go there. I'll just read it. I love the way the prophet, through the Spirit of God, really just lays it out so plainly in Isaiah 45 in verse number 22. He says, look unto me. Look unto me, or verse 22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. One place we find where it says it shall not return void. What does that mean? It just simply means God's word has gone forth and it will accomplish what it is meant to accomplish. It will not return without fulfilling its purpose. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall be glory. So we can find this invitation, as we found over here in Matthew 11, we can find it even in the Old Testament scriptures through the prophets. Isaiah, an invitation. Look unto me. That's the Father inviting us to look unto him. The invitation. Aren't you thankful that he invited us? Look unto me. He says, if you've got burdens, if you've got heartaches, if you've got troubles, look unto me. Who offers that to us this morning? Cast your cares upon me, he said, because I care for you. Look unto me and be ye saved. I think he gets right to the heart of the issue, doesn't he? Salvation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation has gone out. And so when we get into here, and it says here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, we'll give you rest. What is it that we're looking for? What is it that Jesus has offered here? This invitation that has gone out, Jesus' invitation, I will give you rest. He says it again down in verse number 25. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest. So why, since I've gotten saved, I've been tired. That's not the kind of rest that we're talking about here. book of Hebrews, chapter 3, says it this way. When we rest, we cease from our labors. We cease striving. Guess it was when God spoke to Moses there and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that word stand still there, it just means that. It means just cease striving. Cease working. Cease laboring and just simply rest in me. Aren't you thankful for the rest that Jesus offers? This is the invitation. He said, come unto me, all you who are labor. Backing up to verse number 25 there. He says it this way. At that time, at what time? Well, if we could back up just a few verses, we'll see where as Jesus' ministry was progressing, as he was headed toward and what lie ahead in the shadow of the cross, that many began to walk away, many began to reject. And just backing up a few verses there, and it talks about here in verse number 20, it says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And then from there he begins to pronounce these woes upon these cities where Jesus had done these mighty works. And listen to how he puts it. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And so there were many that had begun to walk away. And if we would look at these parallel passages throughout the other Gospels, we'll find that this is immediately after Jesus had sent the 70 out. And they had had, he gave them power through his name to cast out devils. But then as the disciples began to return, they saw many that began to reject. And Jesus gave an answer. What was the question? Well, one thing we've learned throughout this study is so often the question didn't have to be asked, did it? Why is that? Because Jesus knew the heart of men. And so often he would give a response to a question that was never voiced. And from here he goes right into, he says, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. He says, you've hidden these things. They're hidden from the wise. Does that mean that if we are of any intellect this morning, if our GPA is a 4.0 and we've got a good number of an IQ is, that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Is that what Jesus is teaching here? Does that mean that, you know, we've got to be, as I heard Bill said, he heard someone say one time, you got to be more ignoranter? What Jesus says here is you've hid it from the wise and the prudent. And you've revealed them unto babes. You've revealed it unto babes. Now, when you think about a babe, what is it that you think of? You think about, when it comes to babies, they are totally and completely unable to help themselves. If you would not feed a baby, they would not get fed. If you would not care for a baby, they cannot care for themselves. And so it goes back to the same thing that we read earlier when we were talking about those that were in need of a physician. It's not that Jesus was saying that the Father had excluded the wise. It's not that he had excluded those that may be strong, that you know you had to be a certain level of weakness. But it's just this, that when we get to a point in our life when we realize everything else is exhausted and we cannot help ourselves. So often it's here that people turn to Jesus. There's a reason for that. When we are wise in our own and we think we've got everything figured out and we've got all the answers and we have no need of anyone else, then you're exempt. You're excluded. But here's the great thing. A lot of times God will bring things into our life to bring us down. He'll bring us to the bottom so we'll look up. He'll begin to pull things out of our life. And you know what's the great news about that? Is that in itself is the goodness of God. That he begins to pull away our crutches. Those things that we lean upon and we think this is what we need, this is what we have, and we're in need of no one else. We can use our own intellect. We can use our own devices. But Jesus says, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. So he goes right to and says, Father, you, the one that created all things, the sovereign, the one that has everything in control. And as these people begin to walk away and reject those that were wise in their own conceit, those that were mighty by their own estimation, and Jesus says, Father, you've chosen to do this. This is how you've chosen to work, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes, those that aren't able to care for themselves, those that can't provide their own food, those that can't provide their own shelter. Father, it's these that you have revealed yourself unto. And he says in verse 26, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Father, this is your plan. This is what you seemed good to do. Paul says it to us a little clearer, maybe shines some more light on it for us. It's over in 1 Corinthians. You could really read the whole chapter here. We won't do that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Maybe let's start with verse 19 there. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound though the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. God has chosen the base things. He's chosen the foolish things for the reason that he would get the glory. That no flesh should glory in his presence. See, we don't come to God in pride. We don't come to God in haughtiness. But the scripture here and this invitation that has gone out through Jesus when he says, come unto me, he calls out to those that are labor, those that have burdens, those that are heavy laden. He says, come unto me. That's the invitation. Those that have been brought down low. Now, we can see that demonstrated even in the lives of the apostles. We can see it demonstrated through his calling of fishermen. You know, I mean, the fact that Jesus called a bunch of fishermen when he went throughout the land there. He called publicans, tax collectors, the despised, as he walked through. I mean, he didn't go so much to the synagogues. He didn't really go to the temples, to the high priests, the places of authority, those that would think that maybe, you know, they are the ones that should be called. But he went to those that, matter of fact, in the book of Acts, no offense to Peter and John, but it says he went to those that were ignorant and unlearned. Amen. Ignorant and unlearned. But then you see these ignorant and unlearned men, such as Peter and John, standing up with boldness and declaring the word of God. I mean, that don't mean we stay in our ignorance. It don't mean we stay in our foolishness, but it means that these ignorant and unlearned men had been with Jesus. And as the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and these men, as Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and boldly preached the word of God, and it says they took note that they had been with Jesus. It was very clear to them for some reason or other that they were ignorant and unlearned men. Maybe it was their dress. Maybe it was they still had the same fisherman clothing, and they had, you know, maybe it was the fact that they didn't have the proper robes or didn't have the things before their eyes, or maybe it was their words and they got their ain'ts and their can'ts mixed up. The pronouns all out of whack. Whatever it was, there was something that had triggered to these Sadducees and Pharisees that these were ignorant and unlearned men. But one thing they could not deny is the power that was in their words. And why? Because they were just simply preaching what Jesus had told them to preach. They were simply preaching the gospel message. They were simply preaching Jesus. And that's what this word is about. This word is about Jesus. Amen. So often we go into the word of God and say, how can I find me in it? Well, let me tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find Jesus in it. We just simply preach the gospel. Amen. Paul says it this way. He says, I didn't come to you with eloquent words. I didn't come with men's wisdom. But I came in the demonstration of the power of God. Now, I've got to think maybe, I mean, I didn't know the man. I didn't meet him personally. But I got to think maybe the Apostle Paul was not an ignorant man. I've got to think he was a learned man. He knew letters. If only the smart are exempt from the kingdom of God, then Paul would not have been exempt, but God chose him out. But yet he had to bring him down first. Paul says, I didn't come with words. He said, but in the demonstration of the power of God, the gospel message. He says, I come preaching nothing to you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'll submit to you this morning that if we will just simply continue to preach the word of God, that if we will just continue to stand on the word of God, it doesn't really need our defense. It is its own defense. I hear a lot of people talking about defending the gospel. I was telling the story the other day. I was reading a couple different places. I think it was Charles Spurgeon, that he had this little analogy that he would make, and he said, you know, people talking about defending the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, it's just simply, it's like a lion. You don't need to defend a lion. You just open the cage and the lion will defend itself. And that's the way this word of God is to us this morning. Amen. We don't have to worry about it. It's not going anywhere. I mean, that's the great thing about truth. You can ignore it. You can be a gainsayer. You can say there's nothing to it. You can say, I don't believe it. But truth is there. And there have been many of people that have come and gone and saying there's nothing to this word, but the word of God has stood sure. Amen? It is a firm foundation this morning. And boy, we can put our confidence in it, and we can know without a doubt that it will stand. And Jesus says, he said, The Father chose to do this. He chose, this was His plan. And He, you know, He chose to hide it from the wise and the prudent, and He chose to reveal it unto babes. Come unto me, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That just tells me, you know, when we come to God, we are brought, as we have already been studying, how that we are slaves unto Christ. We're servants. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're owned. We're in a yoke, but we're in yoke with Christ. And He says, my yoke is easy. It's a whole lot more than I can say for the world, can't you? Psalm 34:2 says this, the humble shall hear and be glad. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Amen. Humility. Jesus told a parable once about two men that went into a temple to pray. One went in to pray and, I thank thee, Father, that I'm not like the publican. I tithe twice a week, or I fast twice a week, I tithe of what I have. And then the second man went in and prayed. Scripture said he beat his chest, sign of mourning, and he wouldn't so much as lift up his head, and he just simply prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says it this way. He says, that one went away justified. It was those that came to Him meek, in need, ignorant, weak. Come unto me and you'll find rest. What a great invitation. Who was it, Sister Peggy, used to say, the way up in God is down. Amen. You want to be exalted? Then you've already got the wrong motive. And if you're looking for a place of position, and amen, doesn't work that way, does it? But we come broken. The invitation, He says, you that are thirsty, come and drink. Hungry, I'm the bread. You're in darkness, I'm the light. Amen. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. There is a resting place in Jesus Christ. We have rested in that we cease from our labors. We don't strive. We're no longer looking for acceptance. We're no longer looking for approval, but we have found it through Jesus Christ. And through, because of that, as Paul told us over in the book of Romans that we looked at in our last study, we are to give ourselves unto God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Because all that Jesus has done for us, amen, this great salvation, as John put it this way, oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Amen. What better way to wrap this topic up than we see that we are His children, and that we can come to Him in time of need. Amen. Let's look one more place this morning, then we'll wrap it up here. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter number 5 there. First Peter 5 verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Humble yourselves. Amen. Aren't you glad to serve a God that cares? Song we used to sing, someone who cares, someone who'll share all your troubles like no other will do. Amen. We're serving a God who cares this morning. Amen. I know there's a lot of heartache and a lot of burdens. I just feel that this morning on the hearts of our saints here that, amen, it's all right to mourn, isn't it, sometimes? Scripture teaches that, it's, you know, there's a time of weeping, there's a time of mourning. And so often it's because we understand that lives don't have to be lost. We know that, don't we? That lives don't have to be lost. We hate to hear of a young person that, I mean, that doesn't have to happen. Why? Because we weep because we know that Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen. That the world won't offer it. It's only through Jesus. So, you know, let's pray. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for those that are heavy laden and reminding you this morning that you can take it to Jesus. Amen. He knows, he feels, he cares. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your rest, Lord, that you have provided, Father, through your only begotten Son. You have told us that if we would believe, we would have life. And we are so thankful for that life that we have through you, God, that we can come to you because of the blood of Jesus. We can come unto the presence of the Father and dwell in his presence every day, every minute, every second of every day. God, we live in your presence, Father. We give you all the glory and honor. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you for seeking us, saving us, Lord. That Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And Lord, so often our testimony and witness is the same as the Apostle Paul when we say, of whom I am chief. But Lord, you have not left us in our condition. Lord, you have not left us, Lord, in our corrupt state, Lord, but you've changed us. You've made us new. You've washed us. You've cleansed us. Lord, you've filled us with your Spirit. And we are so grateful. You are the good shepherd that cares for the sheep. Thank you for seeking us out, saving us. Father, thank you for this invitation that still goes out today. The door is open. The city gates are wide. And you have said, come ye that are thirsty, ye that are hungry, come. You said, take of the waters of life freely. Draw by your Spirit in this place this morning. In Jesus' name.